This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops, The Breakdown of Law and Order, the story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Save $5 when you pre-order your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurleyShow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Grace. She's out on maternity leave. Obviously, we are mourning the assassination, the death of Charlie Kirk. My generation's Rush Limbaugh, really. Nice Rush Limbaugh. Not that Rush wasn't nice, but Charlie was, I mean, he just exuded pleasantries. He just had such an air of respect and reverence around him for other people and generosity. And here to talk about his friend is David Bossie. He's an RNC National Committeeman from Maryland, and he is the president of Citizens United. David, our condolences from the Grace Curley Show and the Howie Carr Radio Network. What do you want to open with here? I mean, this there's so much to go over and so much to say about Charlie.
Yeah, this is a tough day. I'll be honest with you. All his friends and his family are going through just something that's so unexpected, so devastating. 31 years old, and I think you opened with describing, you know, Charlie. He was just a great guy. I mean, he was the guy who was a great intellect. For somebody who, like me, didn't graduate from college, but wore it with a badge of honor and said that, you know, I'm twice his age. But he found his lane in using and educating young people about what universities were doing, indoctrinating the young minds of America, and indoctrinating them in an anti-American way, in this woke culture that was really destroying the fabric of America. And he caught that bug, if you will, in high school when he saw what was happening. And he's really just, he grew into such an incredible young man that I got to know and befriend, and you know, we did a lot of things together over the years. And you know, I got to participate in some of the Turning Point events. You know, I did his podcast and his show as a guest many times. It's to think that and then, of course, what he meant to President Trump and to the White House family at large. You know, I talked to Susie Wiles, the White House chief of staff, this morning about Charlie and what happened. And she and the president, you know, they're just devastated. It's not something that we expect in this country. Assassinations. And by the way, the president himself, you know, two times they've tried to kill him. And so he gets it. He understands it. But to have it hit home
right
like this close, this young of a vibrant life, living his best life. And then, you know, the irony of it is that he would go on these college campuses and do his tours, which were completely entertaining. Right. And that's part of what he did. He entertained as well as made people think. But he did it with an open debate. Tell me why I'm wrong. That's what he started with. Hey, come on up. Anybody can do it. Tell me why I'm wrong. And people tried to, you know, some people more successfully than others, to try to make their points. But Charlie was so quick, so skilled as a debater. I mean, really, organically, just an incredible speaker and debater.
Yeah,
and
I was
really smart.
I was listening. I was listening to Ben Shapiro's remarks yesterday after the news came through that Charlie had passed, and you know, he remarked he met him at the Breakers in Palm Beach when he was 18 years old or so, and he just watched him grow into this this incredible young man, this incredible warrior and patriot. When did you first encounter Charlie, and what was it like for you watching him evolve into this titan that at such a young age in the conservative movement?
You know, it's kind of funny. I was the deputy campaign manager of President Trump's campaign in 2016. Kellyanne Conway, Steve Bannon, and I ran the campaign in 2016, and so that was my first real, that's 8-9 years ago now. And he's really been on the scene about, I think, about 12 years. So I didn't know him right as he was a teenager, but I knew him right after. And, you know, he wasn't, in 2016, we didn't call him like a Trump warrior at the beginning. But man, did he become one. He became one of the fiercest, most helpful, best organizer, had his finger on the pulse of young people, and a really smart tactician as to how to deliver messages, not just what the messages were, but how to deliver them, using that forum that he did to really engage the young people. And that's why college kids, I got four kids, two of them out of college now, one in college and a high schooler. And they're all devastated because that generation knew Charlie Kirk as one of their peers, as a young man, a believer in American exceptionalism, taking a back seat to no one. That he would drill down in very, very, this guy was incredibly gifted, smart, and a big thinker. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss seeing him on TV. I'm going to miss talking to him. I'm going to miss seeing him at events. But he's going to live on, and we're going to honor him. You know, his friends, the Trump family, I mean, Don Jr., who really close friends, really personally very close. You know, I was just with Don over the weekend, Don Jr., and we talked about Charlie just in general because something was coming up, and their friendship is deep, and I know this is affecting him and the entire Trump family, you know, in a very personal way. So we're going to honor him, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that Erica and the kids are held up, are kept in, you know, in the arms of Charlie's friends and family. But this is truly a devastating thing for everyone to be going through.
I mean, he meant so much to so many people, and it's clear looking at responses online today, and it's such an awful thing to come across, but these people do have to be exposed. We're not going to go through them, it's clearly a problem that we have in public schools. A vast ratio of these people are public school teachers that are currently employed, maybe not later today and tomorrow, but these are teachers that have absolutely zero problem in sharing their vitriol on public accounts. It's something is devastatingly wrong in our education system.
Well, it's. I wish it was just the educational system, but it is predominantly that. But it is when you see these left-wing sickos celebrating celebrating his murder. And I know people are saying Charlie Kirk passed, but he didn't pass. He was murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, we have to use the language that's appropriate. I want to make it nice for my kids. I said, Charlie died. And my son was like, how? And I said, well, he was shot. And that's a different thing than he just passed away. He didn't have a heart attack. He didn't have an accident. He was murdered. And the American people need to understand it. And they need to get a grip on these people who are celebrating it. They need to be found out, called out, and fired. Look, I just saw somebody who was an anesthesiologist, a physician in Miami, celebrating online that Charlie Kirk was murdered. And no one should want that as their doctor. Okay, you go to a doctor to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald Reagan, when he went into the hospital, Walter Reed, he asked, he looked around the room and said, I hope you're all Republicans.
Exactly, and he elicited a laugh. Look, that's what Ronald Reagan was known for, right? In the gallows humor of it all, and the doctors were relieved, right? They're under so much stress, right? The president of the United States is right there. And he lets out. He made them all comfortable.
Yeah.
And Charlie never had that chance. I mean, that wound that he received was devastating. And you know, I question how long he was able to survive such a thing. And it's really disgusting that people are celebrating it. And they say, oh, well, he was a supporter of this or a supporter of that, and he deserved it. Or he used language that upset people. You know, every one of these people that are celebrating Charlie Kirk's death should get the Matthew Dowd treatment. And that's just the way it is.
So we just have a few moments left here, David Bossie. But I just want to ask you, how did we come to this? And how do we get through it? You have Elizabeth Warren blaming Trump and his so-called rhetoric for Charlie Kirk being assassinated in Utah at a peaceful event.
Yeah, these people, they hate Trump more than they love our country. And that's fundamentally where we are over the last 8 years. They believe the ends justify the means, that they will do anything. And that's why they've become radicalized and dangerous. Now we see it. They are dangerous. And so, you know, the Elizabeth Warrens of the world, you know, this is inexcusable language by politicians. But you saw what happened in the House. They asked for a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk, and the Democrats yelled and screamed about it. So disrespectful that they can't even have a moment of silence and out of respect. I'm pretty upset. I don't know the answer of where we go from here. I don't know what the answer is to bring. You know, the easy answer is let's use this as a vehicle to try to bring everybody together. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's possible at this point. We might be looking at America coming apart instead of coming together. The balkanization, you know, which has been talked about for many years, the future of America. I don't want that. But the radical left, which hates this country, hates what it stands for, they're about to duly elect a communist to be mayor of New York City. You're going to see what they get very quickly in New York City when that happens. And they're going to do it. And that's what the left stands for. They are getting more radical. Instead of looking at the Trump victory as a movement in America they have to try to galvanize around to try to solve their problems, they're doubling down on socialism and Marxism and communism. I mean, these are words that I would, to be honest with you, in the Reagan time, we used to use the words like socialist so sparingly because right. You didn't want people to think you were so radical. You're calling somebody a socialist. Oh, my God, you can't do that. Today, they have blown right past socialism.
They've embraced it.
For real. They've gone right past socialism to Marxism and communism and embraced it, and it is scary to see. My daughter today went to high school and made a point to go find, and I'll hopefully hear back from her after school, to go find the young person who started a Turning Point group on at her high school last year, and to make sure that that person was okay and that they know she supports them and is going to be there, and they're going to grow that.
Yeah, start walking those halls with a sign-up sheet immediately. There's so many people. This is a huge opportunity. I mean, that's such a way to honor Charlie Kirk's memory. What he tried to do is just de-radicalize people and convert them and let them see the light. And I think this is, as Greg Gutfeld put last night, yeah, it woke us the bleep up, you know, David. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I wish we had more time, but this is, I'm, you know, again, our condolences to you and to everybody who loved Charlie. Thank you so much, David Bossy of the RNC National Committee and President of Citizens United. We'll be right back in just a few moments. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Our nation is broken. We've had political assassinations recently in Minnesota. We had an attempted assassination on the governor of Pennsylvania. And we had an attempted assassination on a presidential candidate and former president of the United States. And now current president of the United States. Nothing I say can unite us as a country. Nothing I can say right now can fix what is broken. Nothing I can say can bring back Charlie Kirk. Our hearts are broken. We mourn with his wife, his children, his family, his friends. We mourn as a nation. If anyone in the sound of my voice celebrated even a little bit at the news of this shooting, I would beg you to look in the mirror and to see if you can find a better angel in there somewhere.
That was Utah Governor Spencer Cox last night after the at the press conference held by officials updating us on the investigation into the assassination of Charlie Kirk. The gunman remains at large. Two people of interest were brought into custody by the FBI and then released. A lot of questions surrounding those apprehensions and releases and what we know or may know about the gunman. Pictures being circulated by the FBI of a young man. I would describe a physique much like David Hogg, thin, black clothing, exactly what was described by witnesses at the event in Utah, at what they saw on the roof. But it's unimaginable that this could have happened. It's tough. I mean, a lot of us grew up. I wasn't a daily listener to Charlie Kirk. I wish I was. You know, he came up in a lot of the YouTube and Instagram shorts that I saw, and he was always entertaining. He was such a powerhouse for young people searching for a home in the conservative movement. And I think that's only going to get stronger now that he's gone. We'll be back. Much more to come on this on The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
844-500-4242 to join the conversation today as we remember Charlie Kirk and keep you updated on all the details surrounding his assassination yesterday at a university campus in Utah. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Matt, what's today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
And you can vote in the poll question by going to gracecurlyshow.com. Which date will have a deeper impact on American history? 9/11/2001 or 9/10/2025?
So September 11th or the Charlie Kirk assassination? To me, that is a tough choice. We don't fully realize the impact yesterday will have on the future and subsequently the history of the United States. I'm going to say Charlie Kirk, 9/10.
9/10 has 34% and 9/11 has 66%.
Thank you very much. 844-500-4242. I mean, Charlie was... His presentation was pretty simple. He was an astounding young man, a father, pretty much my age, just a few years younger than me, and so accomplished. And what I really admired about him was his constitutional knowledge, his knowledge of the history of this nation from its founding fathers on up, his command of the facts. I mean, you have to be mired in so much research and study on a daily basis to commit all of these things to memory. And he could just rattle them off. What an incredible mind that must take. And he brought that to high schools and colleges, universities, and just sat down to have a conversation with people. Yeah, his presence would get people riled up, and that was kind of the fun of it. You see people losing their mind over nothing, just the fact that he's there, willing to have a conversation with people. Give his spiel. Then he would have an open mic kind of deal where you could walk up and ask him a question. And he challenged a lot of liberal students and any liberals who watched his videos to have a different mindset, a completely different mentality, and a different worldview. And he did that so effectively. But what I also really appreciated about him is that he didn't just challenge liberals. He may not have realized it, but he was challenging us as conservatives as well. He had such grace and reverence, as I mentioned, respect for people who were willing to come up and have a conversation with him. If they were earnest, if they wanted to actually get answers to their questions or have a healthy debate and try to present their side of the argument, he met them where they were, tried to understand where they were coming from, and present with logic and facts and history and data, the other side of that argument, in a very gracious, non-confrontational, non-mocking way. And especially today, I think that is so difficult for so many of us. I have my initial instinct, and I think a lot of you may share it as well, is to when we see somebody who is clearly, I mean, the nose rings, the ear gauges, the pink or blue hair, green, whatever it is, presenting as female, but you know, we have this almost innate ability to go directly toward mocking that person or looking down on them or looking at them with disgust. And I do this. It's not something I'm proud of, but it's nothing that I've really confronted before. Charlie Kirk wouldn't do that. If they had the dignity to show up at one of his events and ask him questions, he would respond as a serious person to another serious person and engage in a conversation and hopefully change minds. I don't know if I'll ever be able to live up to that. That's not really in my DNA. I don't know if I can do it. But Charlie tried to impart that lesson to us, and he was effective, obviously. You go watch his videos, listen to his podcast, his radio show, and he had a huge following, as is demonstrated by the fact that we're talking about this today. He was beloved. He was an advocate for people who wanted to detransition, people who had been victims of this transgender insanity and wanted out of that lifestyle. He welcomed them with open arms. He welcomed anybody with open arms that had a willingness to just think a little bit. And if he could get into their minds just a little bit and try to expand that frontier for them, that was enough for him. He was able to do it. And it's just such a damn bleeping shame that this is what it's come to. That somebody with so much promise, who delivered so much in such a short time, had his life cut way too short and leaves behind a wife and two children who will never ever get to experience the love of their father firsthand, which is something that he always encouraged. Traditional family values, a traditional family, kids growing up in the house with a father present, and some monster or monsters robbed that family of that experience. And it's so disgraceful to see so many people online, without any fear of retribution, openly mocking his death, rejoicing in the assassination, calling for more assassinations. You know, I know the FBI is really tangled up right now in looking for this person of interest who they are, you know, distributing these surveillance photos of right now. And if anyone within the sound of my voice sees those pictures and recognizes that individual, 1-800-CALL-FBI, 1-800-CALL-FBI. But after this demon is found, I hope that they're compiling a list of all of these people online, just as the former FBI under the Biden administration did to us when we were simply posting our support for President Trump. We were simply posting our support for sanity in our school systems. We were simply attending Catholic masses, Latin Catholic masses. I damn well hope that the FBI is compiling lists of all of these people who are rejoicing today openly online and encouraging more violence, more death, and they show up at their doors with at least one pair of handcuffs. That's what they deserve, at the minimum. 844-500-4242. David, thanks for hanging on, letting me rant there for a little bit. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Taylor. Number one, you don't need to be Charlie Kirk. I love your style, and there's only one Charlie Kirk. I'm going to try to get through this without breaking down. In 2015, I went through a very dark period in my life, and I switched to Buddhism, which practices peace and helping others and not holding grudges and not being angry. I am waking up today for the first time in 10 years with so much hate in my heart, with so much sadness, with so much urge for revenge. And I want to answer the question you had with your interviewer, which was great. You said, how'd we get here? We got here because we had a liberal shooter healthcare CEO and turned our head. We got here because Donald Trump was not attempted to be assassinated once but twice, and we turned our head. Now Charlie Kirk is dead. A guy who loved his kids so much, if you look in all the pictures, he never wanted their faces shown because he feared that they would be in danger. So, Taylor, Megyn Kelly's podcast, which went on when he was shot and stayed live for 2 hours until he was passed, she was going on tour with him in 2 weeks. It has VDH, and it has Glenn Beck, and I've never heard professionals not be able to finish sentences because they're so outraged. In addition to Gutfeld, Megyn Kelly, who didn't promote it, said this could be a Republican's BLM moment. And Taylor, the answer is we can't keep turning our heads anymore. We can't. We had Schumer tell Kavanaugh he's in trouble and a guy show up with zip ties and a razor, and we turned our head. So what is the solution? I hate to say it, but it's not good. And for all you Democrats jumping up for joy, 70% of the guns owned legally are by Republicans, and we know how to organize. So take it for what it's worth. But I don't see any way out of this anymore. I am sick of getting punched in the face. Like Rambo said, they drew first blood.
Thanks. Thanks for the call, David. Express the sentiments that a lot of us have today. Speaking of Luigi Mangione, speaking of turning our heads, let's turn the focus here. We'll start at home, okay? We'll start at home. I didn't want to get fired up during the first hour. I wanted to kind of get through the emotional part of this, and then we'll go over the facts and information that we know as of right now. But Elizabeth Warren was asked yesterday about her thoughts on Charlie Kirk's assassination. And she immediately, she got through the standard, you know, it's terrible, this violence is never tolerated. You know, the memo came out, and she read that just fine, just as she rehearsed it. But she could not help herself. Cut 21.
Right. Why don't you start with the President of the United States, right? And every ugly meme he has posted and every ugly word. He is the leader of this nation. And I think that when he's posting things like he did just a couple of days ago, trying to show an entire city on fire and a reference to helicopters in effect, throwing people out of helicopters and showing himself,
the hell is she talking about?
Chest beating, a threat. Then I just don't want to hear this from the Republicans.
Oh, please, was her answer when asked if the rhetoric needs to be turned down on both sides. Oh, please, it's Donald Trump. It's the Republicans. This was her response when she was asked about the shooting death of Luigi Mangione, not Luigi Mangione, but the healthcare CEO by Luigi Mangione cut 23.
And look, we'll say it over and over. Violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial who's allegedly killed the CEO of United Health. But you can only push people so far. And then they start to take matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
Didn't seem too bothered by that one. You can only push people so far, then they take matters into their own hands. I guess this wasn't far enough for Elizabeth Warren, Charlie Kirk. Wasn't far enough to rise to meet her standards for a comment like that. Still beneath her. Still has to take the dig at Trump. Still has to further this rhetoric. Don't worry, we've got more. Seth Moulton was on CNN today. We'll get to him after the break. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We just played some cuts from Senator Elizabeth Warren, who, of course, was just awful yesterday. Here's another awful human being, Representative Seth Moulton of Massachusetts, on with CNN just a little while ago, cut 29.
By and large, saying we all need to turn down the rhetoric. So let's be serious about where this violence is coming from. Of extremist violent attacks in America, extremist violence, violent murders, 76% are from right-wing extremists, 4% are from left-wing extremists. I condemn that 4%. But we also need to be honest about, as a nation, about where this violence is coming from. And oh, by the way, it's probably an appropriate time to talk about guns, too. You hear a lot of conservatives saying, hey, the only thing we need to do here is get more guns on the street. That's not going to solve this problem. That's going to make it worse.
How cheeky. That's how I can describe that. How bleeping cheeky is Seth Moulton? Oh, by the way, I think it's probably an appropriate time to talk about guns. Once again, the Democrats don't get it. They don't understand the first thing. I'm not such an expert in guns, but from what I can tell, from what the FBI, what Steven Crowder is reporting, is that there was a recovery of the gun and ammunition. Guess what? Transgender stuff scribbled all over the all over the cartridges. And by the way, the gun, a .30-06 bolt action rifle, a deer hunting gun. Nothing automatic or semi-automatic about that. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.